they heard this word, and they showed them the fruits of the land. Verse 27, and they told him and said, they're talking about those spies, those 10 of them. They told Moses and all the congregation, they said, we came into the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. See, they saw what God said. God had already told them, this land flows with milk and honey.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus,
Jesus.
That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger,
but on a tree, we like to save man, the teacher.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Proverbs 25, verse 28. And it says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, self-control. Self-control. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, are you exercising self-control? Now, I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, that if we had a mirror, it would do us well to put the mirror before our own face and ask ourselves the same question. Are we exercising self-control? Do you know it is clear in Scripture that the downfall, the ruin, the degradation, and all of the other things that bespeaks man's fallen state came out of the reality that man himself was unable to really control himself, and as a result of his own desire and excessive appetites, he then allowed himself to be put in a situation and a predicament whereby the wrath of God was brought upon him because of choices he made. I think if you go back to the beginning of time and see the first man and woman on earth and see that we're in the situation we're in because Adam did not exercise self-control. And not only did Adam not exercise self-control, but every man since him has had issues with self-control. So I think if the problem that prompted man's predicament today was relevant then and is relevant now, I think we need to investigate how important we understand that self-control is to our success, to our fulfilling the will of God, to our yielding ourselves to God's word, and more especially being what God has created us to be. Now, I want you to see, because in Proverbs chapter 25, I want you to note that the word says again, he that hath no rule, and that word rule means control. He that hath no control, listen at this now, over his own spirit. His. Now you know it's strange how folk are quick to want to control you and want to exercise control over others. But the greatest and the hardest and the most difficult exercising of control is most times over one's own self. And then we have made excuses for that. Oh, well, you know, that's just how I am. You know, because they lose control and they, well, I just can't help it. What comes up comes. Making excuses for their inability to control. Listen, you don't have a right to exercise and then give authority and give a sense of all rightness with being out of control. That ain't nothing cute about being out of control. There ain't nothing pretty about being out of control. There's nothing godly about being out of control. Now folk will laugh at you. You know, look at that fool. Look how she carry on. Matter of fact, when you have a reputation of being out of control, folk just wait for you to act a fool. Just wait. They about to get stirred up right now. Just wait. Because they can't handle it. And when folk know that they can push your buttons, pull your strings, and know how to make you lose control, then my brothers and sisters, you're going to find out that you are in a terrible predicament and place. Again, notice what the word says. It says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit. Spirit. Now, here's the word that gives an insight to the reality of what it is that controls you. You see, because what usually happens on the outside is but a reflection of the reality on the inside. And you've got to realize that here, as it refers to spirit here, it's dealing with man's own spirit and or the spirits that are connected with his spirit. Now, if you are not born again, or you are saved, but you're not converted, you have not been changed to the point, and I shouldn't say, because if you're really saved, you change, but if you join a church, if you got membership, and everybody that has membership hadn't been discipled, don't have discipleship, they've not been really changed. But let's say that you're a member of some church, and you're on somebody's roll, and you call yourself a Christian or a believer, but the reality is you've not been changed on the inside. Now, what you've got to realize is that there are two major spirits. That's either the spirit of God or the spirit of Satan or the Antichrist that controls man's movements, his thinkings, his passions, his appetites, all of these things. Anything that happens out of the will of God or against the word of God comes obviously from a spirit of the Antichrist or the devil. God, and we'll check that out later in James, does not tempt you with evil. So if ever I'm tempted and I know it doesn't line up with the word, then the reality is that that temptation doesn't come from God, it comes from the devil. So there is a spirit of temptation, a spirit that tempts, a spirit that tries to control my spirit, because if it gets control over my spirit, then I will yield myself to what I'm being tempted about. Now, on the other hand, if the Spirit of God is in me and has control over me, then if I walk in the Spirit, I will not walk and fulfill the desires of the flesh. And so obviously we've got to understand that there must be a yielding of our spirit to the Spirit of God, or there will be a yielding of our spirit to the spirit of the enemy. And so what you've got to realize is this is more than a mind thing. This is more than a thought thing. This is more than just a social issue. This is a sin issue. This is a spirit issue. And if you don't deal with the spirit of the issue, even though you might get over an episode of the issue, if the spirit that controls you is still there, prayer, you can go to the 12-step program of Alcoholic Anonymous or Drug Anonymous and all the rest of that. But if the spirit of that stuff is still in you, once you get through with your 12-step program, the devil said, now let's try it again. And then before you know it, you're going to be back there in rehab again because you hadn't dealt with the spirit that's controlling you. Now listen to me well. That's why you've got to deal with the spirit of the issue and know how to attack and what to attack. When somebody acts a fool, and I know it, but you know you got to put it in practice. When you really begin to understand where the assaults come from, where the attacks come from, where the situations and the issues come from, you then begin to realize that's really not that person. That's a spirit controlling that person. Again, think about it. How many folk you know, as long as they don't touch something to drink, you're doing good. But soon you get that little taste in you. And then another little taste. And then you start loosening up. Get another little taste in you. And then you really start getting loose. And then notice the saying, you let your hair down. And before you know it, you start saying things and doing things, because when that spirit then controls you and takes over you, then you are not in control, but that spirit is. And so it has the ability to make you say some things. And listen at this, and I want to say this, and this is real, so I want you to hear me well. Because whatever is in you is in you. And it depends on what spirit, either the spirit of God or the spirit of the enemy, that will depend on what will come out you. Yeah. Now listen, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Anybody ever got angry and didn't sin? You see, now you have to work on self-control. Listen at this. You have to work on controlling your anger, because when you're angry, then you start appealing to the natural or the flesh. And when you get in the flesh and allow the spirit of the enemy in the flesh to overtake and overrule your self-control to not speak those things that are in you. Listen, don't get me wrong, my brothers and sisters. The Bible says be angry and sin. Now, it's natural to be angry. To say I never get angry is to say I'm lying, because the truth of the matter is it's to say I'm not human, because there are some things, there are some situations, and there are some people who can show enough make me angry. Now, I know you don't get angry, but I have to work on not saying what I want to say. It's in me to say it now. When they say, it's, I want to say, you another one. I ain't where you are. I want to say, your mama. Yeah, I want to say all of those things that you say, but there is a control matter. It's in me to say it now. Listen to me well. And don't you lie, it's in you to say the same thing. But the control of the spirit won't let me say it, even though on the natural and in the reality of the flesh, I have every bit of the ability to say it. Sometimes I get so mad I want to cuss, Brother Johnson. And in the words of Junior Hill, I get to the point, if I don't say it sometime, I write it down and sign my name to it. Now, some of y'all get angry and just... Then you're talking about you lay your religion down because you start getting... Make me so mad I lay my religion down. That's some bad religion if you can lay it down and pick it back up. Now listen at this, because it's the spirit, and that's what I'm trying to get you to understand. You've got to focus in on the cause rather than the effect. Because again, the reality is that the enemy tries you to the point where he wants to pull you out of that place that God has placed you in. If you get angry and begin to sin, you start saying some things and even get to the point where it gets you hot under the collar and you do some things that you will ultimately regret. Now, the person who's not in Christ, it ain't gonna bother them. But it's gonna eat you up that you let somebody pull you out of your place. And I got news for you. Anybody that can pull you out of your place has control over you. Anybody that can make you mad has control over you. Anybody who can make you curse has control over you. Anybody who can make you do what you don't want to do has control over you. I want you to look right quick, if you will, in the Bible at 16th chapter, still in Proverbs, verse 32. Proverbs 16, just back up a few chapters. And I want you to see what the word says. Verse 32. It says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Now look, I don't even want to go no further. I want to hold up right now. He that is what?
Slow
to anger. Now, it's a process. It's a process. Because you can still get angry, and the end result is that you will get angry depending on how long you are in a situation or dealing with a situation. That's why you got to learn self-control to the point where if as newborn babes, you might be one with a quick temper. You fire right there in the minute somebody do you. But as you start learning the word and as the Spirit of God starts ministering to you and start dealing with you and there's more word on the inside of you, you start handling things differently. And so then you don't fly off as quick and you don't pop off as quick and you don't get angry as quick. But listen, this is what you got to know. If you know you're going to lose it, you need to exit. Amen. Let me say it again. If you know you're going to lose it, slow to anger means, now you're on your way to anger, but if you know you're right at that point, you need to go on and exit out of that situation and leave that alone. Because when you get to that point, there is a point, I don't care how spiritual you are, there is a point where you get, where you come to that point of no return. And so as you grow and mature, it takes longer for you to get to that point of no return. Amen. But when you get to the point where you know your limits and you know your boundaries, then it's time for you to exit before you do something that you'll be sorry for. Now listen again to what it says. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Listen. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. The word of God says that you are stronger than the mighty if you can control yourself. The word of God says that you are more powerful than some who take a city, who has the ability or the armory or the means to overtake a city if you can control your own spirit. You see, God can use you in more situations, and God can do more things through you, and God can minister to you in hostile situations and so forth and so on if you know how to keep your own cool. See, the Bible said, blessed are the peacemakers. And there's something to be said, because you've got to have the Spirit of God to be able to keep His peace on the inside of you in a peaceless situation. You've got to have the ability to know how to move and to flow and to function in the things of God so that you'll know how to handle this. Then on top of this, when you look at it and see it from the perspective even in the New Testament, Paul makes clear, listen, man, it takes something to beat this flesh into order. Don't think that just because you're saved that you don't have a fight on your hand with your own flesh. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians, if you will, chapter 9. I want you to see this. Why is this so important? It is important because if you don't control yourself, then the enemy will remove from you all of the things that God has given to you because you lose the ability to control yourself. Now, keep in mind, as Proverbs 25 and 28 has already said to us, that those persons who cannot control their own spirit are people like a city broken down without walls. What does that mean? It means that they don't have any limitations. It means that they don't have any boundaries. It means that they do not have any peace, and it means that they do not have any protection. When you lose self-control, you are out of bounds. You have no limits. Ain't no telling what you will do or will not do when you do not exercise self-control. When you do not have self-control, again, you have no protection. Then that means then that you're subject to be destroyed. You're subject to be broken in and handled and or captured. You're subject not to, again, have no peace, because the walls represent protection, but the walls also represent boundaries. It represents limits. And where there are no limits, anything can happen to you, or you can do anything. And in any case, that's mighty bad. Now look at what Paul says, and again, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. But I keep under my body, listen to this, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now listen to what Paul said. He said, I don't want you to think just because I'm a preacher is easy for me. He said, I've got to every day fight this flesh. Just because I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, don't mean this flesh don't talk to me. Don't mean this flesh don't have appetites, don't have desires, don't desire to fulfill its natural reality. Don't think that just because you're saved, you won't have flesh issues. See, that's how the devil fools you. That's how the devil hoodwinks you, because you don't understand that what God has brought as a revelation to us, it is so that we might use it, so that we can bring those things. It's inside you. But listen at this. The power and the word is that you control it. It's that you control it. Your eyes see things that you want. Even though your eyes see things you want, if it is out of limits or out of the boundaries, then you got to tell your eyes, that's fine, but it ain't mine. Now y'all go acting all holy again. Listen at me well now, because it's on the inside of you. That there are things that you desire, but then when you measure them up against the word, you measure them up against the will, you measure them up against the way of God, and you realize that that's off limits to me, that's out of bounds for me, because this is what you need to understand. If I play out of bounds, anything I gain will be disqualified. Y'all ain't hearing me here. If I'm out of bounds, let's take we have Brother Collins Temple III here. If he stood on the outside of the bounds limit and shot from there what would have been inbounds, a three-pointer, would that qualify you, Brother Collins? No. Even though you could have shot it from far away, why would it disqualify you? Because you're out of bounds. I'm out of bounds. Could have hit it, shoot, all nets. Couldn't get it. You playing football. And you step out of line, 1 foot is out of bounds, and you catch the ball like this, and it's right there by the TD, the touchdown goal. If you catch it 1 foot out of bounds, nobody behind you, on the side of you, around you, and the man puts it right there in the numbers, you catch it, will it count?
No.
Even you got 1 foot inbound. Oh, y'all getting this thing now. Because 1 foot is out of bound, that touchdown will not count, because you are not within your qualified playing arena. And so you've got to understand, anything I get or gain that's out of bounds is disqualifying to me. In other words, God can't get any glory out of it. And then the reality is, I really won't get much good out of it. And so when you begin to understand this and see this, Paul says, listen, I've got to bring my body under subjection. I've got to bring it. I've got to beat it. I've got to make it a slave to me rather than me be a slave to it. Now, why is that so important? Because, and I just want to ask this question. How many of you, since you've been saved, have had sinful thoughts? Raise your hand. Now, I was going to ask how many of you have sinned since you've been saved with those thoughts, but I'm going to leave that alone. But listen at this. Let me ask the question. Because you know right from wrong, is it a struggle for you to do right because you know you have to play within certain bounds and within certain limits? Think of how out of control we would be if God placed no limits on us, no bounds on us. If we could do anything we wanted, like we wanted, as much as we wanted. Oh, y'all going acting holy again on me. I want you to see something else. Let's turn to James, if you will. James chapter 1, verse 14. James chapter 1. Well, let's look at verse 13 and see what it says. It says, let no man say, first chapter James, verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Listen, for God cannot be tempted with what?
Evil.
With evil. Neither tempted he any man with evil. That's the reality. If he cannot be tempted with evil, he will not tempt any man with evil. But look at what verse 14 says. But every man is tempted, listen, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now, you know what that means very simply? As long as I'm in the playing field, as long as I am in bounds, the devil can't bother me. As long as I'm in the Word, as long as I'm praying, as long as I'm submissive, as long as I'm obedient unto God, there ain't a thing in the world the devil can do to me to entice me. Because every time he brings something up, the Spirit of God will go in me, look at the reference work I've got on the inside of me in the Word, and bring up a relevant word for that season that will tear down everything. You don't believe it? All you have to do is go back to the 4th chapter of Matthew when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, and everything the devil tried to bring to him, that was a reservoir, and that was a reserve of Word on the inside of him, and everything the devil tried to do, the Spirit of God rose up in him, and Jesus said, it is written.
Yeah.
See, God will give you a relevant word when you stay within the context and the confines of his will. The devil can't pull you out of that. But when you step out of bounds, when you are tempted, when you move outside of the walls of protection, you own your own. Hallelujah. And listen at this. If you're on your own, then that means the devil can attack you. The devil can hurt you. He can harm you because you have left outside the protected walls that God has placed around you. Why? When you are again enticed and lured outside of God's realm. Listen. The devil knows in order to get you where he wants you, he got to pull you from out of God's protection. See, you got to realize that the only way the devil knows how to really focus in and find your weakness is when he can touch you. He can reach you. That's why, you know why the Bible say, yield not to temptation? Oh, Lord, have mercy. The reason why the Bible says yield not to temptation is because the devil knows how to make temptation feel good. Okay, here we go. If again, I've said it before, used it before, if I know I'm fasting, if I know I'm on a diet, if I know I have, you know, taken certain sweets or whatever it is off of my diet, what sense does it make for me to go in the bakery? Talking about, I just love that fresh baked smell. Oh, that smells good. Now, I might not buy them, but they have cut up free samples. Ooh, everybody talking about how good that is. It's just a little piece. But how many of you know it's the little foxes that destroy the vine?
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we We pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT, Shreveport, Greenwood, 92.5.
Come and join us here and receive the true word of God, where miracles happen, and we're a church that's perfecting and edifying the body of Christ.